Blog Talk Radio.
Introducing Renee Wiggins, your certified health and wellness coach, author, and host of Being Fabulously Fit for God's Kingdom Blog Talk Radio. Renee provides a roadmap to staying healthy and fit spiritually and physically. She believes God gave us a gift, our temple, and it's ours to nourish, feed, and honor. Be sure to also catch her on ResultsByRenee.com. That's ResultsByRenee.com. And now, here is Renee.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Renee Wiggins, your host of Being Fabulously Fit in God's Kingdom, where we engage you to become spiritually, physically, and mentally fit. Well, tonight I have a dynamic speaker, another registered dietitian. Everybody out there, woo, 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 to teach you about eating, because now we're 6 months into the new year, and everybody I know has shed their coats, definitely because it's so hot outside. And now you're going in a little nice little clothing that stick to your body, and you want to look good. So let me introduce our speaker who can help you continue your New Year's resolution for the next 6 months, and especially this summertime when you want to get into your bikini bathing suit there. Diets may give you great results temporarily, but over time they lead to a cycle of weight loss, followed by weight gain, followed by another diet. You know, this wreaks havoc on your metabolism and your inner peace. Today, Dina Garcia, dietitian and nutritionist, ex-dieter, and mindful eating coach, is going to share with you how to eat, play, love yourself healthy. I like that. Love yourself healthy. After losing weight without dieting and reversing her pre-diabetes, her mission and passion in life is to help chronic dieters live in a body they love without diet or deprivation. So let's go to Dina. Hi, Dina.
Hi,
how you doing?
Good. How are
How's
you?
How's everything? Fine.
Great.
Fine. Tell my listeners a little bit more about yourself.
Sure. Well, as you said, I'm a dietitian and an ex-dieter, but really I'm kind of just an average Joe. I was born and raised in Indiana, and I went to school at Ball State in Indiana and then did my internship in California. I am married, and I have two beautiful children that, you know, just every day bless me and keep me happy, and they're just amazing. I love what I do. I'm very passionate about being a dietitian and helping people live a healthy life and, you know, teaching people that they can do it and it doesn't have to be hard and complicated or depriving, that it really is simple.
Yes, because we have gone through over the history, because I've been in this field for over 20 years, with so many different messages. One time, don't eat eggs. Other time, eat eggs. Now you don't eat eggs. Now you can eat eggs. It's not the cholesterol. It is just so many different messages. And it does, like you say, can get confusing. But
yes.
What made you, with all this confusion, get involved with the health and wellness field?
Well, you know, the reason, you know, when I was choosing my major in college, I thought I was choosing it because I liked to be healthy and I was interested in nutrition, and that really was part of it. But in hindsight, the truth is I became a dietitian because I was a chronic dieter. Starting in high school, you know, early high school, you know, there was always prom or, you know, going swimming in the summer, there's always some reason you were trying to, you know, be thinner or something. And it became hard, you know, to really keep up with it all. So I thought, you know, I'll study nutrition. It'll make it easier on myself. And in a way, it kind of just fueled me to keep dieting. So I learned more about nutrition. So I was able to create myself more complex meal plans, which really, in all actuality, just made it harder to follow through with it. So, you know, really, I got into the health and wellness field because I was a chronic dieter. And in the end, it felt like the harder I tried, the harder it became to actually eat healthy. It's pretty crazy. So now I've really come full circle with my approach and how I deal with my personal nutrition as well as the way that I teach my clients, I find that it's much more spiritual and more of an empowering approach.
Wow, that's really something, because I got involved because I don't know if you remember the Reader's Digest, and it would come out monthly to the homes, and there was a quiz, and I said, I know nutrition, but what? And I took the quiz, and then I flunked it. Oh, I couldn't believe
gosh.
It, because Dad said, yes, because, well, I wasn't, you know, I didn't take nutrition. I was like, I think in my 20s, and Dad said, eat more vegetables, drink more milk. I grew up with the basic four food groups. I was like, oh, no. So I went back and learned nutrition through a community college, went in with zero knowledge, and bam, came out with so much knowledge. So mm-hmm. I really got involved in that way. But as you mentioned, you know, when you get more and more involved, we become our own, I guess, the scientists as well as the, I guess, the a patient. We experiment mm-hmm. on our bodies. We experiment.
Yes.
And you came up, and I guess this is really started, I guess, in the late 90s, this mindful eating. I guess you threw mm-hmm. out the traditional diet and exercise, counting calories. What made you, well, first of all, explain to my listeners, what is mindful eating?
So when you think of mindfulness is being presently and consciously aware in the moment. So when you're eating mindfully, you're presently aware of what you're eating and doing and really all aspects involved with eating. So the opposite of that, a lot of people have heard the term mindless eating. Mindless eating meaning you're, you know, eating in front of the television. You know, your brain is actually focused on the TV, not really processing in a mindful way what you're eating. It's very mindless eating, or just the grabbing from the candy jar or the cookies just because they're there. We do it and we don't even quite realize or are aware of how much we're actually consuming. So that's mindless eating, and mindful eating brings us back into the present and the conscious so that we can become more aware of what we're actually doing.
So we're mindful of what we're eating. So with your mm-hmm. clientele, when you talk about mindful eating and you say, we're not going to count calories, we're not going to do the exchange system, do they say, well, what do I do? What am I supposed to do then? Do they say, what do they say?
Absolutely. I think sometimes, I try to be very upfront with my clients when I meet with them in my office. Before they even get here, I'll talk to them on the phone. And I always give a free little mini consult, because I want people to be very comfortable with this approach and make sure that it's a good approach for them before they're investing any kind of additional time or money or anything with me. But, I do go through some flexible nutrition with them as well and give them some guidelines to follow. A really simple approach, in terms of counting calories and things like that, I have learned that math does not belong in our diet. Now, if you're calculating, you're on the scientific side of it or research and things like that, absolutely. But in our day-to-day diet, your average person doesn't want to be doing complicated math when they're planning what they're going to eat for the next day or week or whatnot. So I tell my clients, if you can count to four, you're good. I just want you to be able to count to four. That's all the more math you should be able to do. And what I mean by that is I try to encourage my clients to get four food groups per meal, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, at least four food groups. So that way they're getting balance in their meal. And then beyond that, then comes the mindful eating, the slowing down, chewing your food, paying attention to the taste and the smells, paying attention to where the food came from. I had clients tell me, I sat down and I looked at my box of, whatever processed packaged food it was, and I kind of thought to myself, after I stopped and really became aware of it, I don't really want to eat that. when you stop and think about what's actually in it. So that's part of mindful eating, is really being aware of all aspects of our food.
I was listening to you because I'm surely you're right. I stopped counting calories. Now, I'll use it for myself when I'm calculating for them. But you're right, try to make sure they get the basic, groups from each at breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They don't mm-hmm. know. I don't get into that calorie count. I don't get into that exchange, call me. And this I'll tell them, well, I do say half a cup here, a handful, and just be mindful of what you're eating. But mm-hmm. let me tell you what I did in the class, the diabetes prevention on class, diabetes prevention outcome study, and I had a class, mm-hmm. and I told him a raisin because Dina, my father, you know the size of a peanut. He would take 3 to 4 bites in it, and Dina, I was like, we would scream, "Daddy, eat the peanut, eat it!" And the whole thing in your mouth. But we didn't realize because he would stay skinny all his life. Mm-hmm. He didn't gain a pound since I've known him for so many years. So anyway, in this class, I told him to take a raisin and just take a very small bite. Of course, some people, no, a small bite. So I made him take 3 bites, and they looked at me and thought I was crazy. One person ran out and told the supervisor, "I don't like this class. She made me take 3 bites into a raisin, and then for homework we got to go and divide an apple up into so many pieces and take your time." Well, the next day he called back and said, "You know, I kind of like that class, and I understand what she was doing."
Yeah.
You know, so does your client do the same thing then? They call you back and say, "Oh, I get it now"?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I think sometimes I get a bit of a blank stare at first. I think people might just be processing exactly what's going on. But then they come back and they go, "Oh, wow, I see it now. I feel it now. I was really aware of what I'm doing now." So a big part of that mindful eating, I also give them a hunger scale so that they start to rate their hunger before and after they eat, sort of as their guide for their portion sizes. So, yes, they'll say, "Oh, I can't eat 4 food groups at breakfast, Dina. I just don't have that much appetite in the morning, you know, to eat all of these food groups." Okay, well, then you need to eat less, maybe, of some of the portions, and use that hunger scale to really guide your food intake in terms of quantity.
Wow, that is good. That is really good. I never even thought of that. So, again, we cut out the calories. Now, I noticed by talking to you and noticing your website, you have more of the body, mind, and spirit technique in your counseling.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Can you explain to my listeners about that?
Sure. So I found this personally, and I see it, too, in my clients that are the most successful, that the biggest impact you can make is the way that you think. You know, the emotions that you tie to this whole process weigh so heavily on the long-term outcome. If you're saying to yourself, I always gain back what I lose. Oh, I only follow a diet for this amount of time, and then I slip up and I fall off. Or, you know, I'm always hungry. I'm just always hungry no matter what I eat. When you continue to say these things to yourself, they essentially become your reality and continue to be your reality. So until you can create a more positive self-talk about yourself, then it's really hard to progress forward. And even in terms of just, it's not just about being positive about the fact that you can do it. It's about believing it and really, you know, following through with that, day in and day out, and being forgiving of yourself, too. I mean, oftentimes, when we quote-unquote follow a diet, which I consider to a diet anything that tells you when, what, and how much to eat. To me, that's a diet. Even if it's a healthy diet, it's still a diet. It's dictating to you exact amounts or times and quantities and types of food that you need to eat. So anytime that we're on some type of a diet and we flub up, you know, we make a mistake or we eat something we're not supposed to according to the diet, we feel guilty. And there really has to be a disconnect of guilt, of the guilt we associate with food. I mean, food is something we need for basic survival. There's cultural components to food. And food tastes good. I mean, we're allowed to enjoy food. And when we start to feel guilty and we develop this cycle of I was good today, I was bad today, I was good today, I was bad today, and sort of, getting our sense of self-worth off of how good we ate that day, then it really is self-destructive to our person and our image of ourselves. We really have to get away from that to be successful long-term. You know, how good you ate that day has nothing to do with you as a person. And, you know, that's hard for some people to get to that point. because they've used their dieting their whole life, you know, to determine, you know, how good that they're doing or how well they're treating themselves. And then it also has to do with, you know, this is, I tell my clients, this is a process. This is not, I'm not telling you you're going to lose this amount of weight. You know, we're monitoring your progress and this is how much you need to lose. And we're going to keep everything very controlled. It's really a process of behavior change and change within yourself. And, you know, it takes time. You have to have patience. And to some degree, you have to be willing to accept yourself, who you are as a person, or you'll never fully make it through this process. You'll constantly be chasing some ideal in your head of who you need to be that you might not ever achieve. And so you really have to sort of develop a sense of peace with who you are and how you look and what you like and be okay with that.
Wow, that's powerful. That's really powerful, because when you were saying that you're always going to be chasing, there's an old Chinese proverb, if you're chasing money, you're always going to be chasing money. So that is good.
Yeah.
And for my listeners out there, listen to Dina, because she's saying stop that dieting, the yo-yo up and down, and then always bring the negativity, that negative self-talk to you. You create that environment of stress to your body. You create that environment of your body is reacting to the negativity more than the positive.
Mm-hmm.
And so we
yes.
have to change it around. And I've learned that too. I don't know about you, because when I started coaching, and took coaching is different from counseling. Counseling, you know, we told them this is what you're supposed to have based on the lab results and A, B, C, D, E, and F. If you're not losing
mm-hmm.
weight, then there's something wrong with you. But then I learned
mm-hmm.
that if I include my clientele, if we include them and let them set the goals and also come up with the solution, I found out they were more successful in creating a healthier lifestyle than me
mm-hmm.
just dishing it out to them. So I
right.
see what you're saying, and I like that body, mind, and spirit. I don't know if a lot of dietitians do or holding up to that technique, but I'm glad you are. Thank you. Now, when you're doing the mindful eating and you're talking to your client or to the one person, how does that go into the whole family? Do they go back and teach the whole family or what?
So that's a really cool thing about mindful eating. I already try to instill this in my children, in terms of, you know, not over-restricting their food, encouraging to eat balanced, not forcing them to eat certain things so they don't develop aversions. And, yeah, a lot of times my clients will take it back to their family. Most of my clients, though not all, most of them are women, and a good deal of them are moms. And so, you know, they'll say, gosh, you know, we'll talk a little bit about how this applies to the approach that they have with their children. And sometimes I actually am seeing the entire family or, you know, maybe one of the children, and then the whole family will benefit from that. It's a whole different way of looking at food in terms of, you know, as soon as we start to restrict something, we want it more, both physically and mentally. And so by alleviating that restriction, it really makes it easier in the long term to have a healthy relationship with food.
And, I find
and
it
the best
be more
time,
successful. Sorry.
Yeah. Pardon?
I find this to be more successful because when you send that person back to the family is not
yeah.
going to say or be a police, aren't you supposed to count that? Aren't you supposed to do this? Aren't you supposed to? But when
mm-hmm.
they see them eat and stop and, like you said, take their time and do their 20 bites and everything and
mm-hmm.
be mindful and watch the juice come down from the apple when they bite into the apple or taste the real sweetness of the raisin, they take that slower, I guess they like pause in between the bites, so therefore they fill up faster, and the family
yeah.
also gravitate to that. Getting back again to the body, mind, and spirit, because that's part
yeah.
of the whole technique, not being that negative, not scolding them over the head. This is why you created your Wellspiration text messages then? How did that come about?
Yes. So I started doing my text message. I would send a text message to my clients once a day. And I would, and really I was kind of prompted by things that were happening in my sessions with my clients. And so I think, oh, you know, I'd love to remind so-and-so about this, or, you know, oh, I bet this would really help this client today. But I just send it to my whole list because anybody would really probably benefit. And they loved it. I mean, I got really positive feedback. So then I signed up to send actual, like, mass text messages. So I use a program where I can schedule them, send them out. It's very reliable. People can join and quit at any time, you know, to get the messages. Opting in and opting out is very simple. And I opened it up to anybody. You know, I'm on some type of a plan where I can send, you know, more text messages than I would ever send. So, because I just send once a day. And I have gotten a humbling amount of feedback from people. My list is not, you know, that ginormous or anything, but I'll get emails from people that are on my list. I don't know how they got there, but they'll say, oh, Dina, you have got to keep sending these messages. I've had several clients tell me, you know, that the message I sent that day was the exact same message that was in their sermon at church that day. I had another lady tell me she felt like God was talking to her through my text messages. And I thought, well, that, you know, I can't speak for that. But, you know, it really made me think, gosh, you know, you don't realize how one little tiny message that you're sending out can really impact people, and that people took their time to go out of their way to tell me, you know, they don't know me other than from my text messages, to tell me that, you know, that they're enjoying it and to keep it up. And so that's really encouraged me to keep sending them. And it's very simple stuff. I send out an inspirational quote, a fitness tip, you know, it might be a mindful eating reminder, a snack idea, or a link to a recipe. Something to keep people in that mode of wellness.
And to keep them in touch with you, it's like, oh, she's watching me because I sent out an email about don't grab that donut, grab an Appitude and app, because you know a lot of the restaurants have apps and you can, you know, download and mm-hmm. they send you a message about healthy recipes. Well, I got a lot of feedback on that because couple of the people were about to grab a donut, and then all of a sudden they're in front of their computer, don't grab that donut.
Right.
So you're right. When we send out a little message, it's like they're probably looking over their shoulder and want to know, oh, is she watching me or what? But that is really cute. That is cute because yeah. I know when I used to teach aerobics a lot, and one day one of the ladies went to have like go for a chocolate mousse or something, and right next to her, she could see me jumping up and down, so she pushed the chocolate mousse dessert back. So we had an impact on our clientele, we really do. So I like this mindful eating. It's really off the, I guess it's more behavioral, mm-hmm. you know, counseling and everything.
Yeah.
That is so good. That is so good to do that. So what's next in line for you as a nutritionist? What else can you tell us about this Eat, Play, and Love Yourself Healthy?
Well, you know, I am actually planning on developing a few online courses that people can take off of the Eat, Play, Love Yourself Healthy. And eventually, once I get several courses and I'm building some things on the back end of my website, I'm going to open up a membership site. And, you know, it's really, I'm hoping, you know, that it's going to become a community where people feel open to sharing and expressing, you know, their relationship with food and what helps them, so that everybody can really support each other. And it's going to be, no diet. It's not going to be a place where you come to get that, you know, one-size-fits-all meal plan. It's going to be focused more on, you know, the mindful aspect of food, you know, the appreciation that we should all have for food and the love and respect that we should have for it and what it does for our body. You know, yes, I will be posting things like recipes and healthy eating tips, and, you know, I might give sample, you know, meals and things like that. But it's really, it'll really be a place to share and to grow your health. And I'm also going to include in that monthly contest, you know, but it's not going to be about counting calories or anything, you know, crazy exercise goals. It may be something as simple as, you know, you eat two vegetables every day and, you know, you do that for the month and you get entered in the contest. You know, some things just to promote healthier lifestyle.
So you're not going to have them do 100 push-ups or 100 sit-ups? Is there a challenge then? No.
No. It'll be, you know, much more mind-body, or, you know, even just meditating, you know, every day for 5 minutes. You know, that might be the challenge for the month. You know, got a whole list of things that I'm going to do, but the idea is that it really can be simple changes that we implement that have a really big impact.
That's good. You look at the total body, mind, and spirit, the whole thing, not
mm-hmm.
just the, want to say the outside, but also the inside, especially that mindset. That mindset is the key to everything. I'm taking a course, and it's telling us that even if you eat around stress and you're constantly stressed, you know how cortisol levels go up. So you want your
mm-hmm.
appetite, you want to be table, everybody at the table be in that mindful eating, that mindful of peace. You know, don't be having politics or eating angry or shouting across the table because nothing really gets digested completely. It's just, boom, sitting right there in your stomach. Wow, this is really so beautiful that you're doing this. So explain about your, you have a download for my listeners out there.
I do. My download is 3 Simple Steps to Creating Healthy Meals. So in that download, I go a little bit more into detail about the 4 food groups per meal and, you know, how we classify different foods. And then there is also a hunger scale in there for people if they want to take a look at that and see how they can implement that into their lives.
Wow, that is so good. So I like this.
And it's simple.
Eat, play,
it's simple.
Love yourself. And then the 3 simple steps to create. Because a lot of people don't want to create meals because they feel it's just too complicated or they weren't taught or for them it's just stopping by the little fast food place. And
mm-hmm.
really, as you said, we got to get away from that processed meal and really just sit down and learn to enjoy. Because I feel when you're cutting up your vegetables, I don't know about you, when you're cutting up food, you smell the vegetables, they just smell so good. And then when you prepare the meal together, it's almost like creating a painting, so which is really so beautiful. Now, explain to everybody how they can reach you. Can you tell everybody how they can reach you?
Sure. My website is zetanutrition.com, which is Z as in Victor, I, C as in David, A, nutrition.com. And Zeta actually means life in Spanish. So it's really about life nutrition, nutrition for life, as well as, you know, nourishing your life in general. And or you can email me at info@zetanutrition.com as well.
Okay, can you repeat your website one more time for my listeners out there?
It's zetanutrition.com. And Zeta is spelled Z as in Victor, I, D as in David, A.
So for my listeners out there, I know you got a lot of good tips tonight. I know a lot of you probably jumping up and down because you don't have to count calories no more or look at portion sizes. But Dina is saying, please still be mindful of your eating habits. Take your time. Enjoy the food. Take that 20 bites, you know, as they say, or even longer. You know, really chew your food and chew it slowly. You know, what about, before we go off, what about liquids?
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe in drinking liquids at the meal or between the meals?
You know, to me, it doesn't really matter. It's the long-term success that people are going to experience is going to be the total enjoyment that they get from that meal. You know, if you're drinking some liquids with your meal, it may help to keep you more full. You know, it's really going to depend on the person. You know, if you find that you drink during the meal and you can't eat enough and you're hungry in an hour, then, you know, maybe you shouldn't do that. But if you're somebody that has, you know, it's harder to control the portions, you know, maybe drinking the liquid with the meal would help. It really just depends on what works for you. I don't see a difference either way.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Eat, play, and love. Thank you, Dina, and thank you so much for your helpful tips and suggestions. And everybody, I already put it on her Facebook about the free download. Please, please go to my Facebook pages. I did it on Results by Renee and my other pages. And go to, just one more time, your website, please.
My website is zetanutrition.com.
And download her 3 simple steps to creating healthy meals, healthy meals. Don't worry about calories. Just think about eating slowly and nourishing the total body, mind, and spirit. Thank you so very much. I'm glad you came tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Renee.
You have a good one.
You too. Thanks. Bye.
to Renee Wiggins of Blog Talk Radio, Fabulously Fit in God's Kingdom, next week for more fabulous tips on nutrition, fitness, and stress management.